You can now hear Film Actually on Stitcher Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly on your iPhone, Android, BlackBerry, or WebOS device. The latest episode is always available for you. No syncing needed, no memory wasted. Don't have Stitcher? Download it for free today at Stitcher.com.
If you please, Mr. Scrooge, it's gotten colder. Yeah. Any bookkeeping staff would like to have an extra shovel full of coal for the fire?
We can't do the bookkeeping.
Yeah, all of our pens have turned to inksicles.
Yeah, our assets are frozen.
How would the bookkeepers like to be suddenly
unemployed?
This is my island in the sun.
I believe you convinced them once again, Mr. Scrooge.
It'll be much less terrifying if you just come to me.
Wash your hands,
guys. Make love in the hammock.
What?
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Film Actually, episode 71 for January 15th, 2012. Yes, it's a new year, and yes, we're back. I'm David McVeigh, and I am joined by Josh Philpott. How are you, Josh?
Wait, where am I? What's going on?
It's a new year, Josh. New year. Keep up.
Fantastic. Let's do this.
And Josh Philpott. How? No, not Josh Philpott. What's your name? Richard Gray.
I'm Josh Philpott.
You're Josh Philpott. Richard Gray. How are you?
I need to take the show off again.
I'm anyone you want me to be, David.
Cool. I want you to be Lou Ferrigno. How's that? No?
No, don't
do a deaf voice. We'll just get male people complaining. All right. Don't even go there. All right. Welcome back, everybody. It is a new year. We've had a week off, and my God, we're all out of sorts. We're not quite sure where we're going. We just have to make a quick announcement. First of all, this is the official movie podcast of geekactually.com, and this week we are going to be reviewing The Muppets. It's been a long time coming, Richard. We saw this. It seems like ages ago we saw this.
I can just say...
I knew that was coming out at some time really early on.
That's the only reason I plugged my soundboard in today, was just so I could do that at some stage early in the show. We saw this way back in, I think, early November.
Yeah, was it November or late October?
It was early November, because it was about a week or two before the US screening started.
That's right, because they had us embargoed on it as well, didn't they?
That's right.
Well, it's only just come out here in Australia, finally, and now we can finally talk about it, which is very, very nice indeed. Now, Josh, you didn't get to see the screening with us, but you saw it this week.
I did see it this week, yes.
Fantastic. So we're all going to talk about it, and we're all going to see where we stand on the new Muppets.
Oh, yes.
We're also going to do a little bit of what we've been watching. These lists could go on forever. We're going to restrict this down a little bit, guys, because it's been 2 weeks, so I'm sure we've watched a lot. Let's just try and pick our top couple. What do you reckon? And we're also going to do a new list of five, the first list of five for 2012. And considering the movie we're doing, the list of five this week is going to be five great movie puppets. So it'll be very interesting to see where we all stand on that. Now, some news. We've decided, the three of us, while we were sitting around eating barbecue, that the show is getting way too long. Would you agree? I think you'd agree. Boys, you agree?
Wait, was that directed at us?
Oh, it's directed at everybody.
We obviously agree, because we sat around discussing
that's
it.
That's true. And hopefully everybody with their iPods right now are going, yes, yes.
Stroking cats by the sound of it.
Yeah. We have some weird people listening to the show, apparently.
Yes. So what we're going to do is we're going to take the news section and we're going to spin it out into its own thing. So we're going to have a little bit of fun with that. Now, we've decided that Film Actually News has got to be kept short and tight, basically. And so we've come up with a slogan. And the slogan for Film Actually News is going to be...
I love this. Seriously, best thing out of that whole conversation.
Loud, fast, and under 30 minutes or your money back. And we love this idea. And so basically we've decided... There will be t-shirts. And we've decided that what we're going to do is we're all going to find our favorite stories for the week. And we're going to kind of share the news out. But here's the challenge. Is that if we get bored, we're going to cut people off. And we're going to move on to the next story. Because, you know, there is a lot of time where we think something's interesting. And everybody else goes, really? That's it. That's all you got. So that's going to be a little bit of fun coming up in the new year. Well, we're going to try it out for a few weeks and see how things go. What do you reckon? You boys
it's
up for that?
It's definitely a beta podcast.
It's a beta, it's a beta podcast. It's going to be kind of fun. So this
people
show,
seem to be liking the beta podcasts.
They do. Look at behind the panels. It's amazing. They like that kind of rough and tumble feeling. So we're going to kind of keep that going for the news section. So this show will actually be our what we've been watching, our feature film review, and our list of five. And we're going to try and keep this show to just on an hour, just over an hour, basically. With the news out, we should be able to do that. And then the news will actually record on the same day. It'll just go out separately, but it'll be on the same feed. So just keep your eyes on the Film Actually feed. These shows will all go out there. So hopefully send us feedback at feedback@filmactually.com once you've heard that, and let us know what you think of this idea so that we can kind of craft the show to help everybody out. So next week, be looking for Film Actually news. It should be kind of fun. Now, this week, though, let's get on with this. What have we been watching? Let's start with Richard.
Right. Well, I'll start with the immediate stuff because, as you said, it's been 2 weeks. Muppets, Muppets, Muppets is kind of what I've been watching. as you'll soon find out, I'm quite fond of the Muppets, and I have seen it I've seen it additional two times since that screening this year. So I think it's fair to say what my review of the film's going to be. But I've also gone back and watched things like The Muppets Take Manhattan and The Great Muppet Caper, and I even watched The Dark Crystal last night.
Ah, great film.
Which is, you know, so all the Henson stuff. But the non-Muppety stuff I watched. Today, in fact, I watched the 1990 Captain America.
Oh, you didn't?
I did.
What?
I don't blame you, actually, because I've seen it many times myself. So. I just haven't watched it for a while.
It's one of those ones. He seems to spend, like, for the most... It's kind of almost like that bit... If there was a film in between the bit at the end of Captain America, the First Avenger, and the start of the Avengers, that period where he's readjusting to life in the future, then that's this whole movie, and he doesn't actually wear his costume for a
but
good
hour. But it's so uncomfortable.
Yeah, it's a really weird... The fact is, there seems to be a developing a romance between the daughter of his former fiancé is old as well.
No. I thought it was weirder that he seemed to be developing a romance with the president.
Yeah, that is...
That's a very
true,
strange
actually.
Relationship at the end.
Yeah, it's an odd film. Look, I think the less said the better, but I did watch that today. The only other film I'm going to highlight, and I'm sure you will too, David, is Hugo.
Yes. We actually might drop this in as a feature review as part of next week's show. I know it's a little bit late, but I think it's something that we really need to talk about.
Because if you love movies, you're going to love Hugo.
Yeah, it is. It is quite special. And I would like to go into more details. But yeah, I will concur with you. We actually saw Hugo... once again, we saw that in beginning of January, and it's an interesting one because I wasn't quite sure where to go with it for the first 20 minutes, and it grows on you though.
It certainly does. And the more I think about it, the more I love it. So
yeah. Josh, we got to get you to see this film because I'd really like to get your opinion.
Which film is this?
Hugo, the new Martin Scorsese film.
I'm so up in the air about that. I don't know which way to land. I've heard both sides of this argument, and they're both really loud. It's like people either really like it or freaking hate this film, dude.
I will say one thing about it, though. It is nothing like any of the trailers. The film is...
Well, the first 20 minutes is.
The first 20 minutes is kind of represented in the trailer, but the trailer makes it look like some sort of kid's adventure film, and that's not what it is. In any way, shape, or form. And I think that it's a film that they had no idea how to market.
Yeah.
but it is really, really pretty. And quite frankly, some of the best 3D committed to film. And I will say one last thing about it, though, as well. The opening shot, if you actually read the end credits, ILM actually stepped in and just produced that opening tracking shot. Other companies handled everything else. That opening tracking shot in 3D is amazing. It's this extended, I don't know, how long does that go for? Maybe four minutes, 5 minutes?
At least, yeah. No, yeah. It's beautiful. Beautiful long shot of Paris, and it's sort of like the natural progression of what Baz Luhrmann was doing. I know you're going to hate this, David.
Oh, don't forget
Baz Luhrmann was doing his digital tracking shots back on Moulin Rouge, but this is actually... taking the beauty of the scenery rather than that kind of whimsical, over-the-top kind of thing.
See, what I was going to say was it kind of took what he was doing and actually made it good.
Oh, there we go. I knew it was going to come out of some stage.
I shouldn't have opened the door, should I?
You shouldn't have opened that door. I will open it a crack, I will kick it in.
Moving swiftly along, Josh, what did you...
Josh, what have you been watching?
What have I been watching? Well, obviously I have done the basement film for this week, which was
we're getting a theme for this as well. So.
Yeah. Which will be great when we eventually get one. But anyway, that should be up in the next couple of days to read. But yeah, no, I watched Pulse 2. And if anybody watched Pulse 1, it's kind of when you start from a film that wasn't that great. As I say in the review, it's like you would expect them to kind of just try and do the same thing again, maybe, you know, a few little steps in a different direction with it, but you'd expect that. But no, these guys go for a full-blown blockbuster film with, like, feelings and stuff. And, that's just not how you do a B-grade film. And I'm not meaning that in the way that I immediately put it in a B-grade film. It's just that it is a B-grade film, and it's a B-grade film trying not to be a B-grade film. And, that's a little sad, really.
That's never a pretty sight.
Nope. No. So, yeah, I won't wreck anything more on that. But, yes, needless to say, it is definitely not one of the ones that goes in a Screen Gems pile. But the other thing I rewatched recently, Dave, is The Crazies.
Is this the remake of The Crazies?
The remake of The Crazies, and I've got to say, after watching it for the fourth time, I've got to say I actually really love that film. Like, it's actually going in my classic horrors now because it is so good when I go back and revisit it. It's just, it really is, it may languid a bit in some of the parts to it, but it is just really solid and it is just really scary.
I agree with you. I actually saw it on Blu-ray for the first time, and I was actually very, very surprised at how much I did enjoy that film.
It's like now that I've had time, once you've gone through that first initial watch of the film, and then you come back to it a second time, and then a third, and then a fourth, it's like I'm never getting sick of that film. It's always – it's so detailed. It's like it's not just about – the characters, it's like every shot is really well planned and the locations are really creepy and it's all about psychological drama between the people themselves and even the close people as they start to unwind towards the end of the film. It's just, yeah, really, really well done.
Yeah, and no, I enjoyed that film a lot. I'm glad to hear it holds up after four viewings.
Richard, have you seen it?
No, I haven't actually. And to my shame, I've not even seen the original.
Wow.
I know. It's kind of one of those things. I've seen it. I'm aware of it. I'm just...
Here's a shocking thing to say, and it sounds terrible, but because it is George A. Romero, who is a master of horror, but the remake is far better than the original.
Yeah, but sometimes that happens, man. I mean, it's not his most solid film.
No, like, it's not. It's actually kind of hacky, really.
Yeah, but it that was pretty early on, though, wasn't it?
It was after Night of the Living Dead, though, and Night of the Living Dead is so good. And it was around the time he did The Crazies, around the same time as he did Patrick and stuff like that. Was it Patrick I'm thinking
no,
of?
Patrick is
no,
Australian.
No, not Patrick. What's the other one? He did a vampire one.
Is it Martin?
Martin. Martin. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking of. Martin.
Yeah.
Yes. Patrick Martin. You know, they're all the same. No, Martin, which I didn't like Martin very much either. I think, George Romero is best, quite frankly, when he's working with zombies. But he's also done some... Big surprise there. But he's also done some really interesting work. I think that some of those early horrors, he kind of was trying to break away from the zombies, couldn't. After Dawn of the Dead, he seemed to get a little bit more freedom, and that's when he did things like Knight Riders and Monkey Shines and Creepshow and stuff like that, and he got a little bit more creative. But I think the late 70s, with the exception of Dawn of the Dead, were not a pretty time for Romero. And yes, I can see the points he was trying to make, but they're not particularly well made. That's the problem.
Yeah,
you often find that with horror film directors, actually. Like, they have the one big hit, and they struggle to find their feet again, and they'll either have another classic, which Romero did with Dawn of the Dead, or they'll just forever be bargain basement people.
Yeah. Look, the thing that Romero has got going for him is the fact that he always had something interesting to say if he didn't always know quite how to say it.
That's true.
You know, so...
Well,
Yeah,
horror directors are a bit like, you know, sort of modern artists or something like that. It's like quite often they put out something which they put their heart and soul into.
Yeah.
But then it's sort of the fan love that kind of creates all these other meanings inside the films as well. So it's like true. Their first or second effort is kind of a very team-based effort. But when they sort of start to lift off, you get that, you know, single director syndrome where it's sort of like when they're on their own at the top pointing downwards and telling people what to do, it's no longer the team effort.
Yeah.
You know
yeah.
what I
mean? Yeah, yeah. Yeah, okay. Yeah,
I can that go makes with sense. That.
Have you guys
it happens
seen,
with a lot.
Have you guys seen Monkey Shines?
No.
No, I haven't actually.
This is an interesting film. This was a film that he made in the 80s about, you know, the Campuchian monkeys that are used with handicapped people?
Mm. Yes.
The idea of this movie is that the guy gets one of these monkeys to help him out, but the monkey forms an unhealthy attachment with him and basically starts going out and wreaking revenge on other people. It's actually quite interesting.
You mean funny, right?
No. Actually, quite interesting. Because it sounds like such a weird concept, but it goes into some very interesting territory. Because the monkey isn't quite what it's what he was promised. Because the monkey was actually being experimented on.
I love the tagline for the film, which yeah. is one of them was I think the more famous one, which is an experiment in fear.
Yep.
But one of the other taglines is "See no evil, hear no evil, speak no evil."
Oh, that's terrible!
No wonder that one didn't get used.
Yeah.
All right, Richard, you got anything else?
No. I think I've got heaps, but we should move on.
All right, we'll move on. I watched. I finally watched. Josh and I actually reviewed on this show the first two. I finally watched The Girl Who Kicked the Hornet's Nest, the third in the Swedish versions of the Millennium trilogy, and. I don't know why I put myself through that, quite frankly. Josh, we were right to stop. Can I just tell you that?
Wow.
No, look, it's not... funnily enough, it's actually not terrible, and I think it's actually better made than the second one. It's the same director.
Really great.
Same director. But it really is not a film in its own right. It is the second half of the second film. And so you sit there and you watch it, and you go, it's basically a courtroom drama that is wrapping up everything that happened in the second film. And she's in jail the whole film, in hospital or in jail the whole film and in court. So not a lot happens.
It's amazing how little time that Blomqvist and Lisbeth spend with each other in the three films.
Yeah, exactly. Well, they spend most amount of their time together in the first.
Yeah.
After that, they're kind of dancing around each other. They never actually make contact. But he seems to be working for her, and she doesn't seem to give a shit about him. So, you know, it's an interesting parallel. But look, she's still pretty good. Noomi Rapace is still... Noomi? I don't know how to pronounce her name anyway.
Yeah, that'll do.
Rapace is actually still pretty good. Yeah, that'll do. But I just feel like the film was just missing... something. A first half, perhaps?
No, I felt the same way, too, about that film. And I'm like you guys. I didn't like the first one at all. And I often describe those films as Midsummer Murders with tits.
Pretty much.
Which, it's real.
Sorry, that's great.
You know, it really is, though, because they're just, like, they're not, and I think you might have said it, David, the problem isn't, like, the acting, because that's quite good, except for Michael Nyqvist, because he's, you know, he's a plank of wood. But
playing a plank of wood, he did his job well.
He did it. They said we want flattened cod, and he got flattened cod. You know,
they said they wanted the cod, and he just looked at them blankly, and they said, "Perfect."
That's it. That one.
Yeah. That one.
That's the one.
You still didn't know he was in a movie for all three of them. but yeah, no, and I think you might have said it, David. The problem's the source material.
Yeah, agreed. And
it's just not that interesting.
It's pulp fiction, and the problem is pulp fiction can be turned into a great film, but you have to have great writers who can do enough with it. Jaws was a terrible book. It's a great film. It's a terrible book. The Exorcist is a great film. It's a terrible book. You know what I mean? I've read both of these books, and you can write to me all you want. They're junk. You know what I mean? Especially Jaws. Jaws is junk. It's terrible, but it's a great film because they went in a different direction. They adapted it. They did something with it. The filmmakers who are behind the Millennium trilogy, the girl with the Dragon Tattoo films, they slavishly stick to the source material, and that's the problem. This source material isn't that good, you know.
It's not.
So that's to say, I'm going to see the American remake of Girl with the Dragon Tattoo tomorrow. I am curious to see what David Fincher does with it. I know you've seen it already, Richard. We'll talk about it next week.
Okay.
I was hoping to actually try and talk about it this week with the Muppets, but I just haven't had time to see it yet. So I will see it, and we will actually have a little discussion about it, because I know you had some opinions. Your review is actually up on your site. Where's that site, Richard?
Oh, that site would be therealbits.com, David.
There you go. Let's see how many times we can get that in today.
I should have that on the soundboard.
I also rewatched Bridesmaids last night, actually. I introduced my wife to Bridesmaids. I still enjoyed it a lot, Josh.
Good.
We actually gave it a good review when it came out, and I still enjoyed it a lot, and I still love Melissa McCarthy. I think Megan is the best thing in that film, and she just lights it up every time she's on screen. And Josh, I finally got to see The Hole. You told me about a while ago, which is Joe Dante's latest film.
Oh, sorry, you're talking about a film.
Yeah. So I finally got to see The Hole, which is Joe Dante's 3D horror film for kids.
Take that all in.
It's
all one statement.
Horror film for kids. It's a PG-rated horror film, and it is actually pretty good. I really enjoyed it. It's what Dante does best. He does these tense little films that have a great deal of humor in them. You look back on Gremlins, you look back on The Howling, you look back on any of these films, that he always injects humor into his films, and he just kind of goes with it with this, and he has a lot of fun with it. And I'd love to have seen this in 3D.
Yeah, me too.
Because he actually shot it specifically for 3D. I think it would have been a lot of fun. Basically, the story is about some kids who move into a new house, and they discover a door in their basement, and when they open it up, it's just a hole. Quite literally a bottomless hole, which of course unleashes evil upon them. And it's actually,
as it usually does.
As it usually does. Absolutely. And it's got a great,
I hate evil holes.
Evil holes. And it's got a great little cameo by Bruce Dern, who I always love. And of course, Dante puts in all his regulars. What's his name? Miller. What's his name? The actor who is the... I think he was the truck driver in Gremlins. He's in every Dante film. He's always there. His last name is Miller, and he's the old guy who comes to deliver pizza in The Hole.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
He's in everything. So it's all these little Dante touches all the way through it. It's a lot of fun. Liked it a lot. Go out and see it. It's on Blu-ray now if you can get your hands on it. Richard, you need to see this movie.
I shall.
It's a real throwback, actually. It feels very much like an 80s film, doesn't it, Josh?
Yeah, well, I should have my copy coming back to me soon, so maybe I will pass it on.
Oh, good, good. Oh,
thanks, Josh.
I'll pass mine on to him, whoever gets there first. What do you think?
Oh, it's a competition, boys.
Yeah. Josh, you'll see him sooner. You live closer. All right, let's move on to the Muppets, guys. The Muppets have made their famous return to cinema. After how long, Richard?
Well, it depends on what you're talking about. To cinema... I think we're talking, I think it was the mid-90s with Muppet Treasure Island.
Right, when we don't really miss that one.
No, but there's been a whole lot of TV movies. Like the most recent was a couple of years ago.
Did they just recently, it was a couple of years ago, they did the Muppets in Wonderland or Oz or one of those?
Yeah, that was direct-to-video. There's been a whole lot of them. There was like, there's the Christmas specials, they've done a couple of those. And in fact, I'll talk about it a little bit later, there was a... One of the films that was released in 2002 is a very Merry Muppet Christmas movie. It has an almost identical plot. I completely forgot about the last theatrical one was 1999. It was Muppets from Space.
Muppets from Space, Gonzo.
Yes.
All right. Let's have a look at this one. It basically says this one's directed by James Bobbin. Written by Jason Segel, Nicholas Stoller, and who was the third one? It was was another writer on this as well. Oh, no, it's based on character by Henson. That's right. So I got IMDb in front of me. Now, this actually stars in human form Jason Segel, Amy Adams, Chris Cooper, Rashida Jones. Who else was in this in human form? We had cameos.
Jack Black.
We had Whoopi Goldberg. There's so many cameos.
Dave Grohl was in there.
Absolutely.
Zach Galifianakis. That guy.
That guy, yeah.
Alan Arkin.
Alan Arkin, yes, that's right. And then we had all the Muppets.
Yep.
So we'll just, we won't go through all of who all the Muppets were. We didn't actually have all of the Muppet performers, unfortunately. Some of them actually protested this film. We'll talk about that a little bit later on. I'm not sure why they did that. Basically,
it's a communist film, that's why.
According to IMDb, which was our ever-reliable source, which is never right, it actually says, with the help of three fans, the Muppets must reunite to save their old theater from a greedy oil tycoon. Yeah, all right, that's close enough.
That's pretty much it.
That's pretty much it. Actually, that,
music.
That pretty much describes the plot for every Muppet film for the last 10 years, isn't it? Anyway, but that's it. All right, let's have a quick look at the trailer, and we'll be back in just a second.
We're trying to get the old gang back together again.
We haven't done this in a long time.
Your fans never left you. The world hasn't forgotten.
Sure, it's impossible, but we've got to try.
It's time to play the music.
It's time to light the lights.
It's time to meet the Muppets. Yes!
Come on, guys, let's go!
Wow, I can't believe we're all back together.
Yeah!
Sorry, I was super excited.
The Muppets have always been about artistic integrity, not cheap tricks.
Check it out. Fart shoes!
This is going to be a really short movie.
Oh, look! What's that over there?
But what?
Ow. Ow.
Throw me over.
I think that's an electric fence.
God, God.
It's an electric fence.
Yep.
Maybe you don't need the whole world to love you, you know? Maybe you just need one person.
Oh, Cammy.
Cammy, Cammy, Cammy!
I don't care what anybody says. I believe in you. And you.
You think we should have rented a bigger car?
This Thanksgiving, there's no movie like a Muppet movie. Jason Segel, Amy Adams, Kermit the Frog, and Miss Piggy.
Ow, that hurt!
The Muppets.
Okay, so let's get this started. I know, look, I'm going to start with Richard because Richard is like the biggest fan in the world. So,
oh my God, the Muppets, I'm like the biggest fan. I am Walter in this movie.
I always thought you were a Muppet. Take that any way you want.
Well, am I a man or am I a Muppet?
We'll get there.
Well, I have, as I said at the top of the show, I've seen this three times at the cinema now. The most recent one was last night. Friday night, so 2 nights ago. So suffice it to say, it's a rare privilege that I get to see a movie more than once these days. So for me to actually make the effort to go out and see this another two times, it was something special. I said when we did our top 10 in the last show, top five for the year in the last show, I put this in my top five, and I said it was an absolute joy, and that's exactly what it is for me. This is, as you said, it's kind of got the same plot as every other Muppets movie, but everything else about it is just designed purely to press our joy buzzers.
oh, we need a joy buzzer sound.
All I've got is yay on the soundboard. Look, it really is, and it's just from the opening scene in which they do the Life's a Happy Song montage, dance sequence,
yeah,
which is, if that doesn't win best song at the Oscars this year, I will forever stop watching the Oscars. it deserves it. Like, it is the only, it is that kind of joy. It's a real throwback to things like The Great Muppet Caper and Muppets Take Manhattan, which were the two big 80s Muppets movies, and of course the Muppet movie itself back in 79. But it's also like a throwback to all the MGM musicals, and all those sorts of things as well. So you've got a lot of, you know, Singing in the Rain in the opening sequence there, that really big kind of synchronized dance sequences, and I love it. I love all that stuff. But if it was just nostalgia and gimmickry, this movie wouldn't have lasted more than 20 minutes. But what keeps it together is just line after line of hilarious dialogue and these awesome songs that go throughout the whole thing. And also the fact that we realized, yeah, I've missed the Muppets. I've missed them since they were last on the screen, and I really hope they stay now. I mean, this is, to me, if I gave stars, this would be a 5-star film. This is as good as it gets for me.
Oh, my God. How do we follow that, Josh?
No, we go to you next. We get last.
All right, no problem. I'm going to agree with Richard on most of that and say that I really, really enjoyed this film. It didn't quite make my top 5 films for the year, but as I said, it was in my runners-up. It would have been in the top 10.
We're no longer friends, Dave.
I felt that it was the feel-good film of 2011. It was a film, yes, that just brought a smile to my face, and I had a ball watching it. And I just think that, and I risk insulting Josh completely here because I don't know what Josh thought of the film, but I'm just going to say that if you didn't enjoy it, I mean, it didn't have to think it was the greatest film ever, but if you didn't enjoy it, you really don't have a heart. You know what I mean? It's like, it's just a lot of fun. It's just, it's silliness, but it's fun. You know, and I just love the Muppets and I love the characters. And I think they just embraced everything in this film. I think a lot of the credit has to go to Jason Segel. He's, yes, the man who is the driving force behind this. And you just go, this is a guy who obviously just absolutely adored the Muppets and had a lot of love for the source material. And he just wanted to bring them back. He didn't try and change it. He didn't try and reinvent the wheel. He wanted to just bring the Muppets back on screen. And he did that very, very successfully, I think. And I think it was just a lot of fun. I enjoyed it a lot. Josh, your turn.
How small is your heart, Josh?
Yeah. Okay,
you know, I knew this was going to leave it. That's actually why I left it till the end. Look, no, I completely agree with you, Dave. If you can't go into this film, and this is how I'm going to open, if you can't go into this film and walk out feeling like sunshine is everywhere around you, then you're right. There is something genuinely wrong with you, because even through the few small problems that I do have with this film, I walked out just the exact same way that that Richard actually stated ages ago when we were talking about it in the top tens, which was that you just walk out feeling so good. You feel, yeah, buzzed. And there is so much about this film that makes it bigger than itself. It's like, look, the number one thing I loved about The Muppets is quite different. Like, it's not so much the joyous laughter or the silly gags or anything for me. It's always those dry one-liners. It's always those little jokes that are hidden in the background that are just for people like me. People that are basically those annoying old critics in the back corner that are giving them crap for everything that they do. And it's like the very concepts of things like Dave Grohl being in the secondary band the Muppets that Fuzzy is in.
I think it calls for this. Waka waka.
And things like that, though, are exactly what makes me love the film. I also love just stuff in the background. Like, at one stage, there's a pan across a telephone board when they're talking, and Neil Patrick Harris is just sitting there going, no, I don't know why I'm not hosting this. And it's just, it's really on key, and it's also really contextual to its era. All that sort of humor is what really grabs me, but it's that beautiful storyline that just says, just don't forget that it is all about having fun too, because there's moments like that we talk about quite regularly on this show where they talk about how we treat kids far too simply nowadays. And there's that line that Kermit actually says where he's like, I don't think you give kids enough credit. These are important things to get across. And in a movie this big, it's really nice to see some real love towards concepts like that, towards concepts of just going out and being with your friends or your family or your loved ones. And it's like, it's such a positive message that you're right. You cannot walk out of this and not be happy. My only problem with this is I felt that it dragged towards the middle point. I was losing a little bit of interest during that period. But again, that's just a personal thing. By the end,
people have said that actually.
Yeah. And again, it's just a personal thing. It's like, it comes across so strong. And when they are doing like things like the montage of getting everybody together, and the fact that they talk about things like that as they're rolling through it, and references to the old movie.
Let's travel
just like,
by map.
Yeah, look, it's amazingly well written. It's amazingly look. It's really well acted. I mean, again, the sing and dance stuff is all great. Again, it's just in the middle. There's just this period where it's sort of it becomes a little bit too heavy and a little bit too about them organizing and a bit too much about the drama and kind of forgets where it's going for a moment. But then by the time you get to the telethon, everything just shoots back up to full bore again. So yeah, no, I really loved it.
And quite frankly,
it's almost by that stage you're into a Muppet Show again.
Yeah,
exactly.
It's like the last half hour was like an episode of the Muppet Show.
I seriously thought I was going to cry when they started doing the Muppet intro. They actually kick in, and I was just like, "This is just so beautiful."
They did Rainbow Connection.
And can I just say it's probably the best performance that Zach Galifianakis has ever given as Hobo Joe.
Yeah. Yeah, don't forget Hobo Joe. Everyone forgets Hobo Joe. I love that. The thing I love about how meta this film is, like all the Muppets films have always been a bit meta. Like they've always referenced the fact that they're in a movie. Like the Muppet movie starts with them in a theater watching a movie and Robin the Frog saying, "Is this the story of how the Muppets got together?" And he goes, "Yeah, more or less." And then they watch the movie and they reference the fact that they're in it, and they have things like, you know, Big Bird going off to saying he's going off to work in public access television and stuff like that. And, and then in the Great Muppet Caper, they're actually the opening thing is them floating through the credits in a hot air balloon, talking about all the names that are coming up in the credits, saying, "Wow, these credits go on for a while," and goes, "This is nothing. Wait till you get to the end credits." And, you know, and then actually, dude, their opening number is, "Hey, a movie." And it's like one of the lines is like, "You've paid your money, now wait and see." And so when you get to something like the Muppet movie, which is actually not only referencing itself as a movie, it's actually referencing the entire real
Muppet
life
genre
of the Muppets as well. It's actually referencing the fact that there was a Muppet show and that the Muppets haven't been on the cinema screen for, you know, 13 years. It's such a joyous thing. And they do spend a bit of time with the human characters, which is one thing I've heard a few people complain about. As opposed to spending it, because like the other movies were all about, you know, Kermit, and this is sort of spends a bit more time with Jason Segel and Amy Adams. But they're kind of us. They're kind of the audience finding our way back into the Muppets, and I think it's amazing. This is a film that's been structured so that people like us who grew up with the Muppets get that sense of nostalgia, but people who have never seen a Muppet film before get this instant sense of. Of why the Muppets were so great to start with.
That's very well said. Very well said.
And the other thing I just wanted to say that, which we haven't really mentioned it, is the music. And I did sort of say that I think Life's a Happy Song should be nominated for Best Song. It should win it. But Brett McKenzie from Flight of the Conchords wrote a bunch of songs for this film. And they're great. Things like Man or Muppet is a terrific song.
Yeah, absolutely. With a great cameo in there, which we won't spoil because it is a great cameo as well.
Oh, yes. No.
Very unexpected cameo. Yeah.
And also Party of One. Sorry, Me Party is such a great song as well. And but also James Bobbin, the director, I only found out afterwards, he actually was one of the directors on Flight of the Conchords. So that's where he got his start.
Yeah, no, I actually did know that. That was actually...
Yeah, I didn't know that going in for some reason. It seems something Disney's doing at the moment is giving television directors a go at some of their major films. So it's good to see that this has sort of come together so well as not only a nostalgia trip, but a damn fine film by itself.
Let's talk a little bit about the controversy around this film.
Okay.
Frank Oz basically said that he wanted nothing to do with this film because he believed that it was basically selling out the Muppets. Ironic coming from the man who actually continued to voice Yoda into the prequel trilogy, but that's beside the point. And a lot of the original Muppet players actually said that they were basically disowning the film because they thought that it wasn't within the true spirit of the Muppets. What do you guys feel about these?
I've mentioned this before. I spoke to Jason Segel prior to its Australian release. And I didn't ask him specifically about that, but I asked him about, was there any pushback from Disney? And he said, well, a little bit, because he'd just done a movie with full frontal nudity, which was Forgetting Sarah Marshall. But he said that anyone who speaks to him for more than 5 minutes realizes that he's a huge Muppet fan and that all he wants to do is just gush about how much he loves the Muppets, which I feel is what the movie does. And as we've already said, this is very much an old school Muppets movie. I don't see this. I think the fear was that it was going to be a Judd Apatow style humor.
Yeah. Which is kind of what we expected a little bit when they first announced it.
Yeah, yeah. And, look, you know, we wouldn't have minded it, particularly given that he had done that puppet sequence at the end of Forgetting Sarah Marshall, the Dracula musical.
Yeah.
But that, in some ways, it's because the reason he did that was because he'd always loved the Muppets and puppetry generally.
There's also that beautiful scene in Forgetting Sarah Marshall where Jason Segel is crying near the beginning of the film, and he starts singing the opening theme to The Muppet Show.
Yeah,
while he's crying. It's actually a really funny scene.
And look, the thing is, you can't. I think it's obvious by the time you get to the end of the first song that this is no way is going to betray that memory of the Muppets. And I think you get that fart shoes joke in the trailer,
which is one of the things that they complained about. But I think they missed the point of that fart shoe joke. Josh, you were going to say.
No, exactly, Dave. You were hitting up exactly the same point I was, which is that things like this are the exact reasons why I believe that it is, because it's like those people that are looking at it and going, it's not within the scope of the Muppets, forget the fact that we're looking at it from a different generation, inwards. Mm. Like, we're now looking from a very jaded, very serious audience that we all are. We have all become. We're all into the harder, more grittier version of X, whatever it is. And it's like, to do that and look inwards, you have to take some liberties. You have to take different character paths. You have to kind of have these ridiculously upbeat, happy people that we all are not, just so that you can balance the film, because they just wouldn't work. You would have to take the Muppets into dark places, and that's just not the Muppets.
Just the concept, take the Muppets into dark places.
Legitimately do that. You could legitimately take them and throw them against sort of modern societies and just have them bounce back. Like, I don't think jokes would work on a current audience unless you're playing them off people that are a bit more lighthearted. Mm. And that's why I'm saying, it's like, if you don't think that's a Muppets movie, then you have to reanalyze what you think of the Muppets now.
Yeah, you need to go back and rewatch some of the Muppet shows, what you need to do.
Mm.
I think what's terrific is that the Muppets haven't changed a bit. And they're still just as entertaining as they were.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, as you were saying, Josh, there's no attempt to update this. There is references to the fact that all throughout the film that the man's trying to tell them that, you know, you're no longer relevant. You know, this is what, you know, there's that show in the film, Punch Teacher.
Yes.
With Ken Jeong, and the executives are trying to say, which just basically seems to be a TV show where kids get to punch the teacher. And I love that. And you're talking about noticing little things when they pan away from the television that you can just hear off camera. I just wanted to teach people.
Yeah, I just wanted to help people. Yeah, that's so good. And then the two execs walk in and they're like, yeah, the show's been canceled. And the dude's like, why? And he's like, I know, right? It's like, yeah no, just completely no understanding of that. Yeah, no, it's all great, man. It's so tightly written. There is no problem with this film. Everyone should go and see this.
Get out eventually.
Yeah. the whole thing that I said when I walked out of the cinema is the way I'm going to approach anybody that asks me about the Muppet movie from now on, which is that you owe it to yourself to go see this just to brighten your day. Like, literally, that's the reason you should go see this film. Not because you might hate it or that you might not like some of the jokes or the references, you may not get it. No, just go so that when you walk out, you'll just feel happy.
Yeah, look, if you've had a bad day, this is the cure.
Damn right.
that's as simple as that. All right, so let's wrap this up because I want to go into a very quick spoiler section because there's a couple things I'm sure we want to talk about. Josh, recommended to friends?
Yeah, but the only specific kind of friends, people that have hearts, people that aren't complete cynics. I have some cynic friends that are worse than me, believe it or not.
I reckon it might melt the cynic in people. Richard, recommend friends?
I think it's fairly obvious how I feel about this film. It comes with the highest recommendation I could possibly give anything.
Yeah, I'm going to recommend this highly, too. I think this is a film that can actually melt the cynics out there. If it doesn't melt the cynics, they're irredeemable. All right, we're going to go into a spoiler section. We're going to return the spoilers to this show because we haven't done it in a long time. We're going to, for the next 5 minutes, talk about the spoiler section. What we're going to do is this. We're going to actually put in the show notes. I'll actually take... I'll mark basically where we go in and out of spoilers. So in the show notes will be the time codes. so you can actually skip it if you want to skip the spoiler section. All right? How's that sound? So for the next 5 minutes, let's go into spoilers. We'll have a spoiler theme. Anybody out there who wants to make us a spoiler theme, please, we'll welcome it.
Spoiler theme. Whatever a spoiler theme can.
Actually, you had a good Claxton. Play that Claxton for a minute.
Oh, yeah. Hang on. I'll bring that up. Two shakes. And
here we go. Spoiler section. All right. All right, Richard. Tell us what the scenes you want to tell us about. I know you're burning at the bit to tell us.
Oh, look, all of them? Yes, look, I mean, from the start, I guess, when you're talking about like the opening sequence, Life's a Happy Song, I've got the soundtrack and I've listened to that over and over again, but it's such a great sequence and a dance sequence because it comes sort of out of nowhere and it's really that kind of sequence where crazy stuff just happens on screen. There's so much stuff going on in the background. You do get two great cameos in there, which is Feist.
Yep.
I can never remember how to pronounce it. Who actually did Sesame Street a couple of years ago when she did a version of her 1, 2, 3, 4 song, but it was actually set to Monsters rather than her original song. So she's had a previous association with Henson Workshop and the Sesame Workshop. Mickey Rooney.
I forgot he was in this.
This is someone who's been in movies for over 70 years.
Who's Mickey Rooney?
Mickey Rooney was in the opening song.
He was too.
And he, turns and he swings his hat around and goes, "When there's someone by your side to sing." I think he may turn up later in the Manamana.
Did you actually notice the little subtle in joke? Very, very subtle, but there's a point in the song where he says something about being high. It's like being high on life. And in the background, there's a Willie Nelson lookalike.
Yeah.
Life is full of highs.
There's a bunch of cameos in this film. I mean, we've mentioned Jack Black, but he has a great cameo. It's one of the few times I've managed to stand watching Jack Black in anything.
Yeah.
Since, you know, High Fidelity. Some of the other great cameos in there. You've mentioned Dave Grohl already, but there's I love that Selena Gomez and the kid from Modern Family.
And when Selena Gomez basically is it Selena Gomez or the kid who says, "Who are these people?"
and the kid from Modern Family, Kermit doesn't know who the kid from Modern Family is, and he thinks that Kermit's one of the Ninja Turtles.
That's right.
And I love the way that immediately is just like, yeah, sure, whatever, cake.
You know, so there are things like that. I mean, I think the cameos have always been great. One of the really special cameos in there was actually Alan Arkin.
Yeah.
Who had been in so much Muppet stuff before. He's been in Muppet TV shows. I think he's been in previous Muppet films as well. So actually, if you've watched a lot of Muppets over the years, you know that Alan Arkin had a long-standing association with them. So it was nice to see him in there as well. I've mentioned one of the major spoilers, I guess I'll highlight, is Man or Muppet, which is probably one of the other great highlights. Am I a Man or Are You a Man or Are You a Muppet song?
Cameo by Sheldon.
Cameo by Sheldon from Big Bang Theory.
Yeah.
So great.
And it's basically alternate versions. Like, you know, as Jason Segel sings his impassioned Am I a Man or Am I a Muppet song. They see Jason Segel sees a Muppet version of himself, and the Muppet Walter sees a human version of himself, which is
Jim Parsons.
Shelton.
Yeah.
which is a great sequence, and it's such a wonderful thing. And look, the only other thing is the duet between Miss Piggy and Kermit of Rainbow Connection. Rainbow Connection's never been done as a duet before. It's wonderful. And then when everybody comes out and Animal starts drumming.
Dude, Animal on the drums was the moment where I was very close to tearing out.
I did the first time.
He's just like, and he just has that drum fill, and it's so good.
And it's just as the line, "It's something that I'm supposed to be," comes on.
Yeah.
And then he realizes he can drum again. And it's just kind of, and it's that thing I love about the film. It's kind of like, you know, embracing who you're meant to be.
Yeah,
and it's And I think that's just such a wonderful message from the film as well. I could gush all day, so spoilers for everybody else.
So, Josh, okay,
I got one. The one I wanted to bring up just because it was so incredibly left of field, and when it happened, I just was not ready for it.
That's the same one I was going to bring up.
Yeah, Tex Richmond's rap in the middle of the film. Chris Cooper rapping. What the fuck is this? And not only that, but watching Chris Cooper just buy into it.
And like, having just fun. 100%. I never thought I'd ever see Chris Cooper just let go like that.
Like, even when he was doing the maniacal laugh thing, which is another great gag in this film.
Maniacal laugh.
Just him just saying maniacal laugh instead of actually doing a maniacal laugh. I was like, you know, he's the kind of person that I would believe would be like, I'm not doing a maniacal laugh. Like, you know, the kind of person you know you just couldn't get around if he says something like that. You just have to accept it. And then because of that, to then see him just go full blow and just explode into this rap, I was just like, this is the most silly and awesome thing in this entire film.
You know, I love that. That's what I was going to bring up. The two things I was going to bring up was that, which I thought was just wonderful, and of course, closing the film with Menomina. Was genius.
Yeah,
I couldn't think of a better song to close this film on. And yeah, considering that Menomina is actually a Sesame Street throwback,
it is and it isn't.
Well, yeah, because I think the original Menomina that I remember was actually a Sesame Street throwback. I was probably about 7 years old, but it was actually brought back in the Muppet Show. And done in the Muppet Show as well, because it was very much a Muppet.
It's actually in the very first episode of the Muppet Show.
Well, there you go. But but I can actually predate that on Sesame Street. And it's like it's so nice because it's kind of like their roots. That song is like that encapsulates Muppets and Jim Henson's Workshop. And to bring that into this film was just a fantastic thing to do, I think. And to have everybody join in is just terrific. I love that. I just thought that was just brilliant. And it's just the icing on the cake at the end of this film where you just think, okay, now I'm happy.
Oh, yeah. They make a minor reference to it earlier in the film when they do like a montage of Walter and watching television. Walter and Gary watching TV, and then just as you said, just to have that come in at the end, and in response to Mary, because this is a spoiler section. Mary, will you marry me? And her response is Menomina.
Yeah,
just takes you completely by surprise. You think, yep, that's it. I can go home happy.
Yeah, I'm done. All right, we finished with spoilers. Anybody else got one?
Yeah, sure.
Nobody got anything else?
Hmm.
No? All right. Let's move on then.
That's it.
All right. I will put the time codes for that in the show notes so people know they can skip over that part. We will be doing spoilers regularly again because we kind of miss doing the spoiler section, and there are some films where you just need to talk it out. But let's move on to our list of five. The other thing you're going to notice this year is we're going to try and condense the list of fives a little bit. They've been getting a little bit out of control. So we're going to move through this pretty swiftly. Where's my list of five? Oh, I've lost my list. There it is. We're going to move through this pretty swiftly. As I said at the beginning of the show, this week's list is five great movie puppets to celebrate the Muppet Show. Everybody ready?
Yep. Yeah, sure. Why not?
All right. Let's start with Josh.
Oh, Jesus. All right, fine.
Number five.
My number five is immediately for the horror fan in me, which is, of course, Chucky, which is just obvious. Creepy as all sin.
Really did think about putting that on the list and didn't quite get there, but I really did think about it. Fantastic choice. Richard, number five.
John Cusack's puppets in Being John Malkovich.
Of course.
And also the human puppetry, I guess, of... Malkovich himself.
Fantastic choice. My number five is, I don't know if you guys remember this or not, but I don't know the character's name.
Nope.
I couldn't remember the character's name, but my number five is the Vietnam vet lizard from Peter Jackson's Meet the Feebles.
Ah, yep.
It was basically begging. Minimum donation, $50.
a movie that Peter Jackson said when he accepted his Oscar for Return of the King, said this was a movie that was wisely overlooked by the Academy.
Yes. It is truly disturbing in almost every way. Josh, your number four.
My number four is Hoggle from Labyrinth.
Very good choice. Very good.
Yep. No particular reason, just I've seen that movie a lot.
Yeah, and he's fantastic. Cool. I like Hoggle a lot. I think his he was exceptional piece of facial work on that puppet.
Exactly.
Richard, your number four.
Crow T Robot and Servo from Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Good one.
Good choice. Yeah. Very low tech too. Very nice.
And because they've got the best lines in any movie ever.
Yes. my number four, actually coming back to the Muppets, actually, is I'm going to say Pepe the Prawn. From all the Muppets. Any Muppet movie that he has appeared in. I love Pepe the Prawn. All right. Josh, your number three.
My number three is, and it's going to surprise people a little bit that it's this far down, but Yoda.
Interesting.
Look, it's a really good puppet and it's really rememberable, but my next two are more favorite to me. So there.
Cool.
Unfortunately. Not on my list it is.
Fair enough. Richard, your number three
is in a similar vein is I don't know how to pronounce this. It's either Uru. It's basically the Mystics from the Dark Crystal.
Very nice.
And I wasn't going to include something like that because I was trying to avoid all the big Henson stuff, but I was watching Dark Crystal last night and I watched the documentary with it, and just watching how difficult it was for them to get the shuffling motions of those Mystics to get down pat was so amazing that I thought, nah, they have to be included on this list.
Mystics were fantastic. I also really liked the Gelflings in that film, but my number three is actually Mogra from the Dark Crystal, which was the old witch woman with the eye.
Oh, she's great.
She's fantastic. That's Frank Oz's creation.
That's a Frank Oz, yeah.
She was terrific. She was like a deformed Miss Piggy.
I was going to say, the voice sounds like a cross between Miss Piggy and Yoda.
Yeah, absolutely. I loved Mogra. I thought she was
which is
fantastic.
Not surprising given it's Frank Oz, but yeah.
Very true. Josh, your number two.
My number two, dude, is Gary Johnston.
Gary Johnston
from Team America.
Oh, of course.
Yes.
I'm sorry, but that movie gets a very special place in my heart, just for the line "Durka Durka Muhammad Jihad," which is apparently a language. But more than that, it just like every scene that they put him in is just hilarious, and he is the every Thunderbird character, and I loved it for that.
I actually completely forgot about Team America.
Yeah, damn right you did. I knew that one would be my one shining hope.
Fuck yeah. All right. My number, what are we up to? This is number two. No, Richard, you're number two.
My number two is, I've mentioned it before, Dracula from Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
Very good choice. Very good choice. I didn't actually put it in there, but it's a very good choice. I wish I had now. All right. My number two is, it's funny because I actually wrote here, I wrote, my number two is Gizmo from the Gremlins.
Ah, well.
Which I love Gizmo. And then in brackets.
It's a little higher on my list.
Well, yeah, then, damn right.
Then in brackets, I actually wrote actually all the Gremlins. Let's face it. Yeah. You know, they're all fantastic. You know, that bar scene alone in Gremlins is just terrific stuff. You know, all right. So we're down to the wire. Josh, your number one.
My number one's already been had the fire stolen from it, and I think I'm sharing this one with Richard. So I think we might both set this one up together, which is of course Gizmo. Gizmo is the cutest, most adorable thing that was ever made that wasn't real.
Absolutely.
As far as I'm concerned.
And if you go into Gremlins 2, you've got Rimbo.
Still not as cute. It's all about Gizmo. It's like I am yet to see something made that isn't a real thing, like something that's a puppet that is that cute.
It is very cute.
Yeah. And just how detailed the thing is as well. Mm. I mean, actually, people forget when they watch something like Gremlins just how much there's puppetry, there's animatronics, there's other robotics in there, there's traditional hand puppetry and, you know, some green screen work and stuff.
And there's also, according to an interview with Joe Dante I read many, many years ago when it actually came out, he said they also had just plain old throw puppets, which were non-mechanical in any way. They literally just threw them around the room.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it was this combination of all of those things, which you still get in things like The Muppets.
Yeah.
Some of the behind-the-scenes stuff is just amazing to watch because I think I saw Frank Oz in this thing I was watching last night. Frank Oz was talking about Dark Crystal. He said, it's either Frank Oz or Jim Henson were saying that, he said, I'm guilty of this too. I go to the movies and I sit down and I watch it and I'm amazed by it. And then I walk out and go, right, what's for dinner? You don't realize how much work has been put into getting that 3 seconds of footage of a puppet moving across the room. And I think it's movies like Gremlins and The Dark Crystal and all those sorts of things that make that really show how good it can be when you and how much it can add to a story if you get it right.
I agree completely. Okay, my number one. I didn't say much when you actually said it because I knew it was coming up, but my number one is Yoda as well. So I actually put Yoda down as number one because of the sheer amount of artistry that went into making Yoda, considering there was 13 puppeteers at any given time, including Frank Oz with his hand up his butt, moving its mouth. But you also had the other 13 people with controlling eyes, ears, you know, twitches, what have you. It was an amazing puppet. It was an amazing...
But not the puppet in Phantom Menace.
No, I'm talking about Empire Strikes Back Yoda. I'm talking about original Empire Strikes Back Yoda. And it really was just like the culmination of this is all the years of experience with what we do with Muppets, and then now we bring it into a slightly more realistic character.
But I was going to say that shows you just how wrong they can get it in Phantom Menace.
Absolutely. No,
which was years and years and years later, and it's almost as though they'd lost the art of doing it because it was like, you know, the voice and the movement was fine, but it just looked wrong. And as you said, how amazingly right Yoda looks in that world.
Amazing. And I gotta say, it's the one thing I will actually give him credit for, and I don't give him credit for much, but I will give George Lucas credit for digitally removing that Yoda from Phantom Menace and putting in the digital one, because it was terrible.
Yes.
It was terrible, and it needed to go. So I will say that the Phantom Menace, with all of its digital work, it needed to have that digital Yoda, because the digital Yoda was good. The puppet one's better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's as simple as that. That Empire Strikes Back puppet. And it wasn't even that good. It wasn't even as good in Return of the Jedi. It was the Empire Strikes Back Yoda.
He didn't do much in Return of the Jedi.
No, he didn't.
He just sort of had the, Luke, there is
another sky.
And that was pretty much it.
He actually had a lot of life, and he had a lot to do, and to actually make you believe that he was this real little guy, you know? In the middle of the swamp. He was fantastic. He was so
And I still remember the first time I saw it going, oh, that's Master Yoda. That's Master Yoda. Because I would have been little when I saw it.
You would have been.
Which, if you actually watch the movies in George Lucas's preferred order, you don't get that reveal anymore.
No, and that's a whole different discussion for a different show.
Yeah, absolutely. But yes.
That he actually Yoda has completely destroyed some of the great reveals in cinema history if you watch them in chronological order.
I don't think I would ever put somebody through that. If somebody hasn't watched Star Wars and they're going to watch Star Wars, they're watching it in the right order.
Yeah, they have to, because otherwise you lose the great Darth Vader reveal, you lose the Yoda reveal. You lose all of these great moments, and because they're all foreshadowed in the prequel trilogy.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, and you go, well, that just destroyed that. Thanks, George. It's like, what the hell are you doing? All right, that's our list. Thank you very much for playing. Your prizes will be coming.
What do we win, David?
Your prizes will be coming out to you in the mail.
You always say that. I'm still yet to get anything.
All right.
You haven't been getting your prizes, Josh? I've been getting one a week.
Don't tell him that. Don't tell him that.
Should I say?
We had to have at least one more soundbite thing
at
in the show.
At least one more. Now, we actually did. I'm just checking my email really quickly here because I think we actually received a film actually feedback for our last show. And it's actually from Damon, who actually wrote, "Hey guys, liked your top 5 movies of the year." Thank you very much, Damon. Very surprised no one mentioned Attack the Block, not even in honorable mentions.
Wait, yeah, I thought that was on my list.
I thought it was
on
too.
Your list, yeah.
It was on my list.
Yeah, so I thought it was. So Damon, go back and listen again, and if we're wrong, you never know.
Can I give myself a shameless plug for a moment, Dave, if you don't mind?
Sure, go for it.
If you head over to rawdlc.com, Damon, you'll also see my top 10 for the year over on that site, and Attack the Block is definitely on that one at least.
Fair enough. Okay. Boom. There you go. So Damon, There you go. All right. Did we have another one? I think we... Oh, our friend Corin wrote to us. This was actually back in December, but we never had any time for mail back then. But he just wanted to give us feedback saying that he was still watching. He wished us a happy Christmas and a new year. And so, Corin, same back to you. And
damn right, man.
And you've been a good supporter for many years. So I just wanted to make sure you did get a bit of a shout out there. Okay, that's it. That's our show. Send your feedback to feedback@filmactually.com if you agree or disagree with anything we've had to say today. Go out and see The Muppets before you listen to that spoiler section. You can also send us a voicemail at 02-801-1-3-1-6-7 or Skype ID Geek Actually. Find out more about us, the show, my Twitter accounts, and everything else by going to geekactually.com. Now I've done all of that. Josh, where can people find more about you on the internet?
RodeoDLC.com is a gaming website. We have all sorts of...
You just said that. Do something different. No, I'm
allowed to... you know what, Dave? Dave? Yeah? Is this my section?
No.
Is this my section?
No, not anymore.
Is it my...
I'm taking it away from you.
All right. Then take it away. Richard.
I'm joking. Richard, tell us all about yourself, Josh. Everything. I want to know every single site you do.
I was born... RodeoDLC.com is a gaming website. Head over there and check it out. If you like hip-hop, short... sharp and to the point posts about hip hop is at hiphopnetonline.com if you want to head over there. And apart from that, I've been all over the place just putting stuff up. There's new sections coming up on Geek Actually. Dave, should we mention that now?
Yes,
I guess we
will.
We kind of mentioned it
at the head of the show. There'll be a new written review section from Josh called The Basement, which will be the
possibly renamed, but
possibly
that's
renamed,
what
but that'll be
now.
the written versions of the new section that'll be in what we've been watching as of next week, which is Josh's Bargain Basement.
Yes. For next week, I try and struggle through the third Pulse film.
Yay!
Which even worse. Yes.
So Josh will be bringing us... We went back and we were listening to older shows and we realized that Josh actually gets stuff out of the Bargain Basement a lot. And so we thought, we need this as a section. So it's going to be a regular section on this show as of next week. All right.
Yeah. Richard.
Richard, how do people find out more about you? All right. How do you find out more about me is you go to... Sorry, Richard.
He's all about himself, right? Isn't he today? It's all ego today.
Oh, yeah, you can find me, Raw DLC. Wrong one.
Man, I'm getting a lot of plugs today.
Sorry, it's Hip Hop Online. No, wait, sorry. You can find me at therealbits.com. That's RELBits.com. Or you can find me at DVDBits. Both are me talking about films and comics and other cool stuff.
You don't talk about films, do you?
Quite prolific.
What? I didn't know you talked about films.
Occasionally, I talk about films. It's one of my hobbies. It's a fabulous way to spend your spare time.
Yeah, it is.
Nice.
All right. We also want to send out Happy New Year greetings to some of our friends out there. We're going to say the real junkies, R-E-E-L junkies. Boys, we're back. And so are you, I noticed. So Happy New Year to you guys. Go out and find them on iTunes or go to weekendronan.com. And of course,
hi guys.
And of course, go to Rebound Radio and wish our friends Charlie and Brad
Happy New Year. I miss you, man. I've been thinking about you lately.
Absolutely. We're going to have to get them on the show again. You know that, don't you?
Please. Yeah. I miss them, man. I really do.
Me too. All right. So Charlie and Brad, Rebound Radio, they got a couple shows over there. Head over there. You can find out all the shows that they're doing, Movie Matchup and Good Day, Sir, and a whole bunch of stuff. So go out and check them out. They're pretty cool. All right. That's it. That's a show. We open the show with a clip from the Muppet Christmas Carol, and we're going out with a...
Treasure Island.
What?
No.
Okay. We're going out with some of the soundtrack from Muppet Christmas Carol. No, not Muppet Christmas Carol. Now, you've confused me completely now, man. All right, Muppet Christmas Carol is how we open the show. We're going out with some of the soundtrack, of course, from The Muppets for this movie, for this week. And if you guys have got nothing else to add, no? Yes?
I just want to say that life's a happy song when there's someone by your side to sing along.
Fair enough.
And you guys are the people that I want standing beside me when I'm singing my song.
That's what we should do. That's how we should promote the show. Just flash mob, like Martin Place or something.
I thought you were going to say. Richard,
I'm not sure if you're aware of this, but if you actually run out into the middle of a street and start singing, no one joins in.
I know so many times have I tried that. I've even sort of just gone dun 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 dun
dun. Can I just tell you what I heard?
I'm like Jason Segel runs into the room and he does that whole, you know, right in front of me. Sorry, I just got really excited. That's me most of the time.
Can I just tell you what I heard? And this shows you where my mind is at. I heard Richard say, we should really promote this show and go out and flash.
Flash mob. David. It's a thing.
I only heard the flash part as well, but I managed to be together.
I don't know if that's actually the sort of promotion that we want to be doing.
We did say that we're going to do it short, loud, and under 30 minutes. Or you
fast
might be back.
And loud and under 30 sorry, minutes.
Loud and under all right, 30 minutes. I'm done with the outro talk. Let's call this a show.
All right, let's call this a show. Everybody out there, go see more movies. You don't see enough movies, and all of life's questions are answered in the movies, and we will see you all next week. Boys, I'll see you next week for the grand experiment.
Yes.
See you, Dave.
See you, guys.
Be back here.
Dreams? Those were nightmares.
Oh. It's time to get things started on the most sensational, inspirational, celebrational, Muppetational. This is why.